We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Wednesday. Hope your day is off to a wonderful start. How about a quick little Elon Musk item to open the show? Got a lot on the show agenda today, for sure, including Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich will join us in the second half. A lot of stories on his plate. But quickly, Tesla announced this morning that it has delivered 336,681 vehicles in the last 3 months of the year. Automaker was expected to sell more than 390,000 cars and trucks based upon estimates compiled by Bloomberg. It's the lowest sales figure since the second quarter of 2022. I saw deliveries from their Shanghai factory drop for six consecutive months. China, of course, is the world's largest electric vehicle maker. Really competitive space. Now, you look at Tesla, the Model 3 and the Model Y are driving all the business for the company. But it's facing a ton of new competition, particularly in China, where their sales have dropped about 12%. Compounding this 36% drop in the stock price in quarter one has erased about $460 billion in market value. So, you know, a lot of challenges in the space, but I don't know. I wonder if this is a tipping point or if it's more of a temporary setback as the company kind of continues to evolve its technology and kind of retool the look and feel of its vehicles. It'll be interesting to see. Never look just short term when you're seeing numbers. You always got to look at the big picture ahead. We create and we do a ton of different topics on the show. We're going to talk popcorn when we come back. Yes, local popcorn. I'm sure you have a favorite brand, right? You get those big, like, 1 pound bags that you see in the stores that are like $7.99. I love Valley Pop from Nina, a really wonderful local company. Then you have that, like, gourmet white bags from Knight's Popcorn, like $9, but totally worth it for 16 ounces of popcorn. The owners of Knight's Popcorn are going to join us to talk about their business and the impact of some recent construction over on Forest Home Avenue. We'll talk about the ins and outs of the popcorn and small business world, but also how you tackle road construction, especially in the spring and summer. They will join us in the next segment. But first, I got a couple more items, so we're going to go to Up.
Up one, two.
Now it's time for the
two
Up on the Upswing.
First up, it's simply holy guacamole. If you look at the United States imports of avocados, $3.4 billion. One of the major importers of avocados is Chipotle. The last 7 years, Chipotle's been kind of scouring for new sources. The Americas, the Caribbean, seeking out new farms and suppliers that can satisfy their demand. In the past, Mexico has dominated this space for them. 85% of Chipotle's avocados have come from Mexico. But the prices, just look at these prices. Chipotle typically pays $30 to $35 per case. Supplies have tightened. Now each case, which is about 48 to 84 avocados, depending on the size, is up to $70 plus. So the next time you pay that, what, $2.75 for that guacamole, you know why on the Chipotle side. Next up, 3,000. It's a big number. From yesterday, Forbes announced that the number of billionaires in the world has surpassed the 3,000 mark for the first time as it released its annual list of the wealthiest, at least dollar-wise, among us. 3,028 billionaires on the outlet's 2025 ranking, 274 more than last year, a combined wealth of $16.1 trillion. Elon Musk is on top of this list. You look at following him, it's Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Larry Ellison, Bernard Arnault, all who atop the list last year. I wanted to dive into the Wisconsin side of this. Several notables on the list: John Menard Jr., Diane Hendricks, Judy Faulkner, H. Fisk Johnson, S. Curtis Johnson, and Helen Johnson Leopold, members of the S.C. Johnson family, Richard Elizabeth Eline, and additionally, kind of drill it down a little bit more, individuals associated with Wisconsin businesses and sports include Ted Wanick and Ronald Wanick of Ashley Furniture, as well as Milwaukee Bucks co-owners Wes Edens, Mark Lazary, former Mark Lazary, and James Dinan. That is the list of the more than 3,000 richest billionaires in the world out yesterday from Forbes. When we come back, the owners of Knight's Gourmet Popcorn, founded in 1952. Lots of opportunities, lots of challenges in their business. We're going to pop right to it. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Knight's Gourmet Popcorn, originally founded, I love to talk about legacy, ongoing small businesses on the show. Originally founded in 1952, so it's a 73-year-old business. It's changed hands a number of times through the years. Lou Hero was the previous owner, acquired it in 2021 from Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and his wife Michelle, who had operated Knight's since 2005. Today, it's owned by Brittany and Ben Essig, who also operate a coffee roaster and cafe there called Rescued Roasters. Some recent challenges with the business, you know, located on Wisconsin 24, Forest Home Avenue. It's now reduced to one lane of travel in each direction, part of a resurfacing and road improvement project that will definitely make the area better and brighter, but maybe a couple challenges for the owners right now, but still a lot of opportunity. The owners join us on the phone this morning, Brittany and Ben. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Of course. So just kind of level set with us. Tell us how you got into the coffee and popcorn business.
Yeah, so I'll try to keep this the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
But back in high school and college, I was a barista at a couple different coffee shops, and I just loved working with coffee. So from that point, it was always my dream to have a coffee shop, you know, when I grew older and became an adult. Fast forward, you know, we were living in Jackson Park, our neighborhood, for about 10, 12 plus years at that point, and there was no local coffee shops anywhere near us. You know, the closest ones were Bayview. So, you know, Brittany and I, we talked about, you know, maybe one day, you know, opening up our own coffee shop in the neighborhood, because there was a need. But we always joked about, you know, like, maybe somebody else will do it and we don't have to. But nobody did it. So then we're like, fine, I guess we'll do it. So we started looking around the neighborhood, and, you know, there's not a lot of real estate available. So during that process of looking for buildings, we met Lou Hero. He was gracious enough to, you know, let us lease space from the Knight's building to roast our coffee in the back of the building. So we started out as the coffee roasting company, doing that for a few months. And then Lou approached us and said, you know, that he was looking to sell. He wanted to sell to us because, you know, he thought we would be the perfect owners for the popcorn to go in the future with it.
Yeah. So you were able to meet an entrepreneur, kind of helped you get your start in a space you wanted to be in, but also learn about the business through his lens. That had to be really valuable early on for you.
Absolutely. Lou's a very established man, very knowledgeable, a bright man. So when he approached us, we both said no at first. We're like, I don't think this is overwhelming. Like, this wasn't part of our plan. That's overwhelming. But he talked with us through it. He helped us through a lot of the challenges that we were, you know, thinking about that we're going to face. So he made it pretty smooth for us. So that was really, really nice of him, and it made it very easy for us to take over the popcorn business. It's been around for so long.
Yeah, I mean, you probably had to weigh, I mean, with any decision, you kind of have to weigh the pros and cons with anything, but you were buying a legacy brand. I mean, Knight's Gourmet Popcorn has been in the area 70-plus years, and to dive into an area you didn't know as much about. So talk to us about kind of the unique value proposition of your popcorn, kind of what makes it special. Is it the oil? Is it the kernels? Is it the sourcing? Kind of what makes a great popcorn great?
I'll say we definitely took on the legacy, and like we loved popcorn up until this point, but we really got to learn all the ins and outs of popcorn as we took over. Like, as you mentioned, it did start in like 1952. It started in Ted and Llewellyn's home and then expanded to like its first location around 9th and Mitchell until it moved into this location a little over 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say like what makes it super special is that it's still the original, like some of the original recipes from back in 1952. All the popcorn is still popped in small batches, hand bagged and hand sealed. We're definitely known for like our classic gourmet white, which is one of the original recipes. And I think it's just the quality of that medium yellow seed that's hullless, so it's not going to get stuck in your teeth. Popped in a really good coconut oil with the perfect amount of salt. It's just like the perfect snack for every day.
Yeah. How long have you been popping with coconut oil?
That's like the original recipe.
Hey, really?
As far
okay.
as I know.
When I started,
I was kind of given some like handwritten like ingredient list and recipe list and kind of tasked to actually like type it up and keep it in like a safe spot because we still had stuff that was just like written by hand.
That's great. So you were on the coconut oil trend way before kind of everyone else is, making it a little bit more healthy too. Then that it comes through in the taste for sure. We are talking with the owners of Knight's Gourmet Popcorn. When we come back, a little bit more from Brittany and Ben on the impacts of some new road construction right outside their business, how they're managing it, and what's coming next. You listen to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Construction on West Forest Home Avenue scheduled to continue through the late fall, according to the DOT. A lot of impact on the small businesses there in terms of parking and access. Brittany and Ben Essing are the owners of Knight's Gourmet Popcorn. They join us on the phone this morning. Again, thanks for your time. So talk a bit about the road construction challenges and the impact on your operations and just how you're working with all the governmental entities to provide more access for your customers.
Yeah, so the construction caught us by surprise, caught everybody in the area by surprise. It just one day started and we got no advance warning or notice that it was starting. So that was the biggest challenge, was just, you know, not expecting it and then trying to come up with solutions on what to do. Our storefront, we have 8 parking spots in front of us where people park. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a parking lot to ourselves. So when the road construction started, our parking spots were all taken away. So the first couple of days that this happened, we saw a 50% decrease in our sales just because people could not get to us or have anywhere to park. And, you know, a lot of, like on Mondays, we have Senior Monday. A lot of our customers are, you know, over 60 years old. And if they can't, you know, have easy access to our building to park and walk in, you know, they can't come, unfortunately, because they can't walk 2, 3, 4 blocks. So, it really hurt us a lot.
So are you getting support on the communication side from Wisconsin Department of Transportation and local officials? Has that been happening more in the last week?
So our biggest supporter has been our Alderman, Peter Bajelas. He's been amazing. He's been pushing for us and with us to work with the DOT just to get answers on how long is this going to take, you know, and then finding solutions. So we were lucky enough that our neighbors have parking lots next to us. They've moved their stuff around in their lots to allow us to have parking for customers. And, you know, that was all thanks to Peter working with the DOT to find solutions for us. So, yeah, Our ultimate has been great during the process.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, that's what it's all about. I always say that you have to take the time, business owner or not, to know your local alderperson. You know, whether it's a village trustee, an alderperson in a big city, like, get to know them, because when things like this happen, they can make moves that will have impact on your life and your business. Are there additional signage? Is there additional signage coming that's going to make it easier for people to find the businesses? Because there's a lot of small businesses along that Forest Home strip.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that was supposed to be done before this all started, and unfortunately, DOT did not get that done. But I did meet with them on Tuesday of this week, and we will have signs printed this week, and they should be up by next week. Okay. So we signs up within the next week.
Very good. Well, let's look ahead a little bit into the next several years for your business. What are your plans on the expansion side? Any new product offerings coming?
Okay, one of the big things that we're in the works of right now is getting some, like, outdoor seating for the summertime so people can walk out and sit, like, out on the sidewalk. We do offer, like, new drink items for each month, each holiday, things like that. And then also just, like, a lot more promotion of, like, our coffee end, to know that we're both popcorn and coffee here. And then our last little thing is, like, we do team up with an animal rescue in the area each month to donate 10% of our coffee profits back to them. So we're looking into, like, expanding our partnerships with them.
Very good.
And then eventually down the line, we want to have, like, more food options and bakery options, but that's not quite in the works yet.
All right. Well, Ben and Brittany, I wish you all the best with the construction and a lot of opportunities with small businesses. So stay in the game, keep having fun, and keep moving the needle.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you. A little bit more flavor on the project. So the project on Forest Home entails improvements to about a 5-mile section of Forest Home. It's between West Janesville Road in Hales Corners and South 45th Street in Milwaukee. So it's a long stretch there. I think there are about 10 small family-owned businesses that operate on that stretch. So, I mean, these road projects, while I think there's a greater good to slowing traffic, to softening traffic, to creating more bike lanes and really making the places more inviting for pedestrians, bikes, and cars, they have short-term impacts on small businesses. The plans here continue with resurfacing, and they're going to replace some traffic signals at South 76th Street on West Cold Spring Road and South 68th Street intersections, all about improving the infrastructure to the entire area. You get those curb ramps, you have the bump outs, and of course, you're meeting the Americans with Disabilities Act standards, so you're adding additional sidewalks and pedestrian-friendly amenities. Always a greater good to these projects, but usually some short-term impact to small businesses. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. Joining us in studio is senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, our good friend Rich Kirchen. Rich, thanks for taking the time, as always.
It's great to be here on a rainy spring, freezing day.
Yeah, well, it's going to get warmer. You know, it's a good,
day
to walk through the rain, too. You know, makes you feel alive.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right, I wanted to, we had a lot of stories on the plate here, but your reporting regarding Harley-Davidson and the executive being a witness last week in D.C. before the House Ways and Means Committee, obviously a lot of talk about trade and tariffs. But he used some pretty harsh words, I would say. Talk to us about Jonathan Root's ask in front of Ways and Means.
Yeah, Jonathan Root is the chief financial officer and chief president of commercial, that's his new title also, at Harley-Davidson. Sort of the number two guy behind CEO Jochen Zeitz. He was invited to speak before. It was actually a subcommittee of Ways and Means that's looking at U.S. trade policy. And he was pretty outspoken in the company's concerns about how they've been treated over the years and potentially how they will be treated by the European Union in particular, but also countries in Asia and China and so forth, where you know, massive tariffs, 56% tariff potentially in the EU, which is their reaction. The EU has basically threatened that in retaliation to President Trump's tariffs. They have not yet implemented that. And then furthermore, Denmark, I think, was the country where there's all, they also pile on a luxury tax. And, it, you know, so a bike that would have been $28,000 in the U.S. becomes something like, what, $170,000?
Yeah.
You know, which means you can't sell bikes there.
Right, which obviously will have an impact on their sales.
Yeah. Now, he did not make a specific ask.
Okay.
He didn't blame any president or Congress or anything, but he said he just would like to see Congress work, you know, on behalf of companies like Harley in the U.S. that are looking to export to Europe and Asia and so forth with getting a fair trade policy.
Yeah. I mean, like any good company wants, they want to know the American trade and negotiation priorities, and he's there to represent his company, but also the country as a whole.
Right. And Harley, I mean, it's just because it's one of those, you know, quintessential American products. Nothing says USA like a big fat Harley Davidson.
Yes, indeed.
And so, I mean, they've been picked on for years in these trade wars.
Yeah. All right. I want to kind of switch to the energy side a bit. What's the latest on data centers, specifically kind of the proposed data center and the work stoppage at Mount Pleasant? Let's talk about that, and then let's talk about We Energies and kind of the fueling of future data centers.
Yes, so Microsoft, you know, they confirmed last May that they're committed $3.3 billion to upwards of three data centers in Mount Pleasant in Racine County, and they are well underway on the first one. They sent us some pictures, and I haven't been by there for a few months. I mean, it's just massive site that's already well underway and on schedule. I believe it's 2026. They're going to complete that, and they had started and stopped at least once. But anyway, there's two other sites. They own well over 1,000 acres. And two other sites adjacent to that, and they had started to do some preliminary, you know, pushing the dirt around and getting the sites ready for two more data centers. They confirmed a week or so ago that that they had halted any preliminary work they were doing on the additional data centers. They're not saying when they're going to, you know, actually build them. They say they're still committed to the $3 billion. But furthermore, the village of Mount Pleasant says that they're okay in terms of their financial agreement with Microsoft.
Okay. So the work stoppage or the delay, if you will, it's kind of part of the natural process.
Well, it is, you know, these are huge investments, multi-year projects. They need to make sure that they're going to have the business. And of course, that's, you know, come into question in recent weeks with the Chinese DeepSeek artificial intelligence innovation. So, they seem to be recalibrating Microsoft what their needs are and maybe redesigning their projects.
All right. When we come back, I want to get your reporting on We Energies and its new rate proposal for the data centers. And I'm going to hit a bit on beer and beets. How's that for variety? You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich, as always, appreciate your time. So, We Energies has submitted a new rate proposal for data centers. Utility company said wants to ensure that data center customers will not subsidize residential or business customers. And I think that's when people hear, ooh, new rate proposal coming, they want to know, all right, what is it for?
Yes, so this is specifically for what they call very large customers. The only ones that qualify at the moment are data centers. And the We Energies is going to have to invest millions, I should say, we don't know about billions, millions of dollars in a new generation, some new lines. American Transmission would build the distribution lines. But We Energies is saying that Microsoft and other data center companies would pay for this, and it wouldn't affect the other residential or business customers.
Right. And then We Energies maintains ownership of those facilities, correct?
Right, yep.
Okay. All right. I want to talk, speaking of ownership, the City Lights Brewing Company, right in Milwaukee's Menominee Valley, ceased operations in January and now is in receivership. What's the next phases for this space and business?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Seth Desard, there's a couple of big, receivers in Milwaukee, attorneys who are court-appointed receivers, and he has this case. And I'm sure the future of the real estate is part of what they need mm-hmm. to determine, because they're trying to get money to pay creditors.
Okay.
But in the meantime, Seth and his staff are seeking interested parties who might want to buy some of the City Lights brands,
okay,
which include Hazy IPA, mm-hmm. Coconut Porter, and Mexican Lager.
Mexican Lager is pretty good. I liked it. I'm going to add that. I'm a fan.
So the brands, and then the recipes also for these beers. Okay. So that could bring in some money that would go to the creditors.
Yeah. I mean, I think in these type of transactions, at least for this, the opportunity for the next owner is the event space. It's a really good location, a beautiful facility. Yes, the brands and probably some of that, the sales of those brands and the distribution rights, that's important. But I think you're going to see somebody that really wants the space. At least that's my thought here, because it is beautiful. You can see it right off 94, easy access. So I think that's the way it will go. There's only so many microbreweries out there looking for new opportunities,
but
you never know.
Yeah, they've been closing down rather than expanding.
Yes. All right, I want to talk a little bit about local headphones. You had some reporting on Milwaukee-based Cost Corporation, kind of its patent infringement cases, kind of made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Tell us about that case.
Yeah, well, back in 2020, Koss sued a number of other companies that were making or selling headphones, Apple, Bose, Skullcandy, and a couple of others, and in the federal courts in different states, depending where the companies were located. And their case against Bose had gone through U.S. District Court, Appeals Court, and then Koss had filed a motion to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. So the news last week was that the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to hear your case, sent it back to the district court. So at the moment, Koss's petition, it was denied, and probably means that they need to go back and settle with Bose. They have settled with some of the other companies and brought in something like $11 million over the years. But in the case of Bose, they're saying, no, we did not steal the patents from Koss. We make our own products. And so we'll see if there's any settlement there.
Yeah, I mean, Koss, the original founder of the stereo headphone, based right here in Milwaukee, some innovation there. So I'm sure, like you said, there'll be continued negotiations to find some kind of common ground now?
Yeah. And this was, again, this is a Koss product that was introduced back, 10 years ago or so, mm-hmm. that they were saying these other, it was wireless headphones, which were a new thing in 2012 or so, that these other companies had infringed on their patent.
All right. When we come back, we got a final segment on a couple downtown items, including the historic Wisconsin Tower. And possibly a new billboard there, and then a new company moving to downtown. An update from Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. A couple of big downtown Milwaukee notes to close the show. Rich, Interpac Tool Group is here. I don't think this story got enough play. I mean, it's a big relocation for downtown Milwaukee. New sign, some more signage coming. Just tell us about Interpack a bit and its plans for its downtown office.
They manufacture heavy-duty tools, much bigger tools than Milwaukee Tool.
Okay.
And they've been headquartered in Menominee Falls for a very long time and decided to move their headquarters with about 130 employees to what's been known as the ASQ Center downtown, right, where the old Marshall Fields used to be, right, okay, over there on Plankinton and Wisconsin and Michigan. Their official move-in day was March 31st.
Okay.
They're going to have a ribbon-cutting grand opening in May with the mayor there and everything. So, yeah, it's the latest of companies moving their headquarters from the suburbs to downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah. Big new Interpack signage on the side of the building.
It's on the side.
On
yes.
top. Isn't there one they have coming, or is that
they
already
showed up? They showed a drawing on their quarterly earnings call a week or so ago that's going to have a big sign on top of the building for Interpack.
All right. Well, speaking of signage, the Wisconsin Tower building, which is about 6th and Wisconsin Avenue,
yes,
used to be activated with billboards. I think if you go back in the day, like there was a big Miller High Life bottle on there, some other really interesting activations in that era where, like, what's that Times Square type signage approach?
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. I mean, I was looking at one of the pictures. It was an 8 to 10 story tall billboard.
Okay.
Vertical billboard on this 23 story building on, as you're heading into downtown from the west, you could see it.
Yeah, I mean, that space kind of is dark and dreary now, I think, on that side of the building. And, you know, through the years, through a bunch of projects I'm involved in, we've looked at putting murals on that building, whether it's a Bucks player or something else, just to activate and brighten that space.
It's a big gray space.
Yeah, it needs something. So now the Condo Association building is mainly residential now. I think
yes,
the first floor is vacant.
Yeah.
So what are they looking to do to activate it?
Yeah, so they propose, they're working with a billboard company from Washington, D.C., and they're talking about an LED billboard, about 1,700 square feet. It would not be nearly as large as the old 8 to 10 story billboards. But anyway, the City of Milwaukee Department of Neighborhood Services initially said that's too big under current city ordinances. So the billboard company is appealing that. Capital Outdoor is the name of the company. They're actually on the agenda tomorrow for the Board of Zoning Appeals saying, hey, there are other signs around downtown that are this big or bigger, you know, in or near, you know, residential. Yeah. So they're looking for the Board of Zoning Appeals to allow them to go ahead with this project.
We'll see how it pans out. Could have another big, bright downtown billboard showcasing a bunch of different messaging, and probably going to help the Condo Association a little bit with some revenue there.
For sure.
All right. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. I always appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
All righty. Enjoy the rest of your day.